This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson in for David Martin Davies. In the early hours of June 28, 1969, New York City police raided the Stonewall Inn, which was one of the few places in New York where members of the gay community could freely socialize. The scene eventually exploded into a full-blown riot with subsequent protests that lasted for five more days. The Stonewall Uprising is widely seen as the catalyst for the modern gay rights movement. Communities across the country continue to commemorate Stonewall each June during Pride Month, including in San Antonio, which is home to as many as 80,000 individuals who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning. The gay rights movement in the United States has seen huge progress in the last century, but still faces many challenges. There's no law that explicitly prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity, no recourse if an employer, landlord, or shopkeeper discriminates. So what still needs to be done to protect all Texans from discrimination, and what are we doing to encourage inclusivity in San Antonio, Texas, and across the country? What does Pride Month mean to you, and how do you celebrate? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Again, that's 210-614-8980. You can also email thesource@tpr.org or tweet at us at @tprsource. And we're joined this hour by Robert Salcido. He's the statewide field coordinator for Equality Texas and executive director of the Pride Center San Antonio. Robert, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Naomi Brown, vice chair of the Pride Center San Antonio. Thanks for being here, Naomi.
Thank you.
And James Poindexter, secretary of the nonprofit Pride San Antonio, Inc. James, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So I just want to kick it off with you, Robert. Let's go back to the Stonewall thing. Tell me, what was life like for people back then in 1969?
Right. Definitely. I mean, when we look back to the Stonewall riots in 1969, everybody was really operating in a sense of being closeted and doing things in secret, using bars and clubs as a place of sanctuary, where places where they could actually be themselves. It was known that during this time, there was many raids that were happening throughout the U.S. on gay establishments where gay and lesbian folks were hanging out. It just so happened to be that the Stonewall riots were sparked by trans women of color, Marsha P. Johnson and Silvio Rivera, who basically stood up and said, we're not going to take this anymore. We are who we are, and we're going to continue to live our lives and embrace who we are authentically. And really, that sparked the movement of the gay rights movement. You know, I think it's important that we look back on our history and know that that was started by trans women and trans women of color.
And what do you think finally pushed them over the edge to say no more?
I mean, the fact of living in hiding, having your life not really being accepted or embraced by a community, having to live in the shadows, that takes an overwhelmingly toll on people's lives and their mental state. I think that in of itself really just, I mean, it boils up, and it got to a point where nobody's going to accept that anymore.
And they were living in hiding because it was illegal at the time, right?
Right. So, I mean, even if we talk about law enforcement from regular police officers with the city or military police and things of that nature. So it was really, I mean, just, it was criminalized. Our bodies were criminalized because of who we are and who we love.
And they could throw you in jail for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And Naomi, continue.
Yeah, Kim, one of the things I think which is so significant about this time was this was a safe space for them. You know, this is a place where they could go and be themselves. And part of what would happen is when the police would come in, if you were dressed in male clothing, they would actually have to change how they looked. They would run and change how they would look. Their stories told, I have friends who've been together like 60 years, and they tell stories about how the raids would happen, and they knew that what they were looking for was women who were dressed as men, or men who were dressed as women. And at some point or another, this boiled over this summer because it was just like, this is our safe space. Mm-hmm. This is who we are, this is where we, and this happened every weekend. So every weekend there was a raid. Every weekend they could expect something to go down. And they just had enough.
And so this was, they were, these clubs, as I understand it, were run by the mafia, right? Because it was illegal to serve patrons who were LGBT.
That's, they were underground clubs.
That's a very interesting part of that. So, James, I want to talk to you. So the acronym we most commonly see used is LGBT, but I've also seen longer versions, LGBTQIA. Can you tell us about these individual letters, what they stand for, and what they mean?
Well, they're to expand the recognition of, to recognize everybody in our community, not just necessarily, initially it was, you know, the gay movement, and then it became, you know, GL, GLB, GLBT, and then we started, you know, changing the letters around so that we could recognize and accept everybody who was part of our community and part of our culture.
Very cool. What are we talking about when we say Pride, when we call it Pride Month? What, anybody want to chime in here?
It's being proud of who we are and being proud of the community that we serve and that we live in daily, and not being afraid and having to go back into the shadows or into the closet, being able to stand out and represent ourselves and with dignity to the world.
Absolutely. And so when did Pride San Antonio first start? When did we start doing that here?
Our first parade was for this organization was in 2004.
Okay. And what's the mission of Pride San Antonio? Does it fall in line with the overall mission?
It's to recognize and accept and celebrate the diversity of the LGBT community in the San Antonio and surrounding areas.
And I saw on y'all's website, it says that it's for the community at large as well. So you're obviously emphasizing inclusivity, the whole of San Antonio. Do you invite people regardless of their sexual orientation, and why is that important to do?
Because we're all one larger community, and so we believe in recognizing our allies as well as those within our community. In our organization, we in particular have straight members on our board. We have fostered other activities within, such as softball and a film festival, where we encourage the involvement of everyone in the community, whether they be LGBT or otherwise.
And why do you think inclusivity is important?
Well, I mean, I think if we talk about it from like a standpoint of us wanting to be included in other surroundings, then that's imperative that we include everybody else as well. Allies are very important. That's how we start having conversations one-on-one with individuals and really changing the hearts and minds so people get a better understanding of who LGBTQ folks are. Mm-hmm. Without these one-on-one conversations, without these interactions, the misinformation will continue to spread throughout our cities. And so that's just one way for us to combat the misinformation and really the falsehoods that are stirring out there that create misconceptions about who we are.
To showcase that diversity.
Absolutely.
Of the community.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, we're talking about Pride Month in San Antonio. June is Pride Month, and we would love to hear from you. The phone lines are open. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. That's 210-614-8980. You also can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And we want to let people know if you want to remain anonymous on the call, that's totally okay as well. We would love to hear about your experiences. Have you participated in Pride San Antonio or a Pride March or a festival around the country? What was that experience like for you? Why is that important to you? Regardless of your sexual orientation, why is that important? 210-614-8980. We are looking for, really want to hear from people who have personal stories of why Pride is so personal to you. And I want to ask you, Naomi, what does Pride mean to you personally?
Well, for me, Pride is something that I think it's sad that we have to celebrate it. I also think it's sad that it's not being acknowledged from some of our higher offices. But it is a expression of who I am and the life that I live and the pride that I have in that life. My story is a little different. I've been together for 39 years and we have 2 children and 3 grandchildren, and I am proud of my family and I'm proud of what that represents. And I am proud that that makes me a woman who is just who I am.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for that story. We are The Source. This is Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back after this 1 minute break. June is designated Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month, and cities across the world are draped in rainbow flags to celebrate. We're talking about Pride Month and how that's celebrated across the country, across the world, and here in San Antonio today on The Source. I'm Kim Johnson in for David Martin Davies. The American gay rights movement has really come a long way, especially the last 2 decades, but there still are a lot of things that we're missing and that we still need to be pushing for. A same-sex couple can legally wed on a Sunday, but can be just as legally fired for displaying wedding photos on their desks at work on Monday. There are new policy recommendations to reinstate a ban on transgender men and women serving in the armed forces, and gay rights proponents must also contend with an increasing number of religious refusal and bathroom laws. What challenges have you faced as part of the gay community, and what needs to change? How are you expressing yourself during Pride Month, and do you feel safe doing so? How safe do you feel San Antonio is? Our phone lines are open if you have a question, comment, or story to tell, 210-614-8980. And let's get a caller on the air right now. This is Christopher. Christopher, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Christopher Mike, and I am on the board of directors for Fiesta Youth in San Antonio, which is San Antonio's premier LGBTQ youth program. And our program serves the LGBTQ lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, plus teens, young adults, and also their allies. And so, you know, our goal basically is to help give these kids a safe place to gather and to express themselves in a comfortable space, and also educate them and help them become very successful and contributing members of the community. So our main mission, our mission goal is actually to provide a safe, non-judgmental, affirming place for LGBTQ youth so that they could express and explore who they are through education, peer support, advocacy, and friendship.
Okay, Christopher, what's the website that people can check out if they want to find more information?
The website for Fiesta Youth is fiesta-youth.org. And you can go on there and find out about all the different programs that we have, the different fundraising that we do throughout the year so that we can provide these programs for our teens. We even had our fifth LGBTQ prom recently.
Very cool. Okay, so Christopher, thanks so much for giving us a call. I appreciate that. And let's go straight ahead to Matthew. Matthew, you're on The Source.
All right. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
So I'm calling in. That's actually a great follow-up to that because Fiesta Youth, so I'm Matthew. I'm the assistant manager here at the Teen Library at the San Antonio Public Library Central location. And so this past weekend, on Sunday, actually, we celebrated a donation from Fiesta Youth. Fiesta Youth and San Antonio Public Library last year actually joined up forces to bring some programming, some LGBTQ programming to some of our libraries. So we partnered up. They went out and they did some fun stuff. You know, they did a Halloween makeup tutorial. They made some ornaments, you know, things like that. And we're excited that they want to continue partnering with us. So they gave us these funds to acquire some LGBTQ literature within our library. Now, of course, we had some titles already, but for us, you know, it's really important in this city that's so diverse to really speak to as many people as we can, you know, whether it's someone that's looking for a job or someone that just wants to read a really good book or watch a movie or things like this where, you know, with our young adults, our teens who are still figuring out who they are, you know, our teen services department across all 30 locations, we provide kind of the similar safe spaces that Christopher was just talking about, you know, a place for teens to come after school to hang out with their peers and just, you know, enjoy their life while they still can here and before they become adults.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Matthew, for telling us about that. And I want to ask you, what do you think the importance of having literature LGBTQ available in San Antonio?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, literature is important because that's how people learn about their history. That's how they learn about maybe who they are as individuals and their coming out process. Everybody has different journeys in their coming out, and having that accessible to them is certainly good. Having safe spaces is also good. With Pride Center, we do many different safe zone trainings where we build allies within our community, whether it's with SAPD and all the cadets that come out. We've worked with the San Antonio Public Library to train some of the library locations. And we work with really nonprofits, the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, YMCA. So it's really building these inclusive spaces where people have the opportunity to learn and maybe read where this literature is available to them. So yeah, it's very important.
Very cool. I want to go through some of the major milestones and setbacks of the past few decades. What stands out in your mind as, you know, a big moment in LGBTQ history?
Well, I think we can't talk about LGBTQ history without talking about marriage equality. Huge, really huge. And I think set a tone which could in some ways have created a catalyst for what we're looking at now. Because all of a sudden, our marriage was a marriage, and that is an incredible and wonderful thing. And if we think of marriage as two people who love each other, which is what we should think of marriage as, it had a huge statement. At the same time, telling me you can't make my wedding cake because I'm gay has an even louder statement.
And I think that's, I mean, it's really true. June historically has, there's been some really important things that have happened. So if we talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that was repealed in June of 2011. If we talk about marriage equality, June 2015, even June of this year, when we talk about the Masterpiece case from the Supreme Court, and 2 years ago today, that we're looking at the massacre that happened in Pulse that took away 49 of our brothers and sisters simply because of who they are, whom they love. We have to look at all of these. So the good and the bad of our history, and that's important for us to look at. So June, like I said, historically is significant to us, and we have to recognize that.
President Trump, for the second year now, did not officially recognize Pride Month. Also, his administration has removed references to LGBTQ people from a number of the federal government websites, announced policy intended to ban transgender people from serving in the military, supported refusal laws, etc. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been a steady opponent of LGBT rights, arguing in cases of transgender and lesbian, gay, bisexual employment that they are not protected. How have these actions and the country's current divisive nature affected social progress for the LGBT community, James?
I think it's dangerous, and I think that for kids and a lot of people still in the closet, they look to our leadership to make those, you know, examples and to, you know, affirm things in our culture and in our life. And the past 2 years, clearly this administration has sent a very clear message, I think, to all of our community, including those who are just coming of age and thinking about coming out and may not come out because of this sort of avoidance of the issue.
Naomi, I like this phrase, social progress is not a straight line. Do you view the current attitudes as a setback, a minor setback, a major setback, and do you think things can turn around?
You know what, I think because of the recent, in the last 2 years, activity, what we've found is a resurgence of youth and a resurgence of people who may not have contributed, who may not have gotten out and fought, who may not have gotten out and marched, who now feel that it is imperative for them to fight, to vote, to march. I think what has happened is we've said, if you're going to treat us this way, guess what? We can take it to the vote. We can take it to economics. We can take it to social media. And we can actually say that there are more people in America who are decent, loving, kind human beings than the ones that we're seeing in the media.
And let's take a caller right now. This is Rhoda. Rhoda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I really wanted to call because I realize I need to get involved again. I came out in 1977 when I was 37 years old. I lived in the New York City area. And things were very different then than they were like 20 years ago. And it's getting that way again. And I'm very frightened by it because when people get a taste of hate, they want more. And the people who tend to hate are the people the least informed. I have ideas about how to inform them in a positive way, and I would like to help somehow. I remember when you couldn't dress in the in clothing meant for the opposite sex, and the Stonewall, places like that, the police would come in there all the time, and people would have to change partners so that, you know, opposite sex would be dancing with the appropriate designated dancer. And I moved to Texas 20 years ago. My partner passed away 6 years ago of Parkinson's. And I have to be honest with you, I lied. When I would have to take her to the hospital, which was often, I just would say, she's my sister. Mm-hmm. So I never got thrown out. If I had been honest, I might have had no access to her. And I resent the fact that I was forced to lie, that that situation shouldn't be occurring, but it's coming back, and we need to be ready for it. We need we also need to focus on the big stuff. A wedding cake is not going to kill any of us.
Thank you, Rhoda, for that call. I really appreciate you telling us your story. Let's talk about the masterpiece cake thing. It was an interesting decision. They ruled narrowly, and it didn't really answer the underlying question. Is that correct, Naomi?
Yeah, that is. And you know what? It seems like just a wedding cake, but it wasn't. And, you know, we all know that storms start with a small rainfall. And for us in this community who are fighting so hard for our youth to be safe and feel safe and to fighting so hard for Rhoda to say that this is my wife in the hospital, it's not just a cake.
Do you think that Rhoda's situation with the hospital story, is that a common practice?
That's in the work that we do with Equality Texas, and we meet with folks and we talk face-to-face with them throughout the state, and that's a common story that we hear, whether it's hospital access or access to schools for their children or, you know, simple things that other people take for granted. It's something that happens. The masterpiece cake, Naomi is certainly right. It had nothing to do with the cake. Really what it was doing is it was looking at the case in its whole as whether it gave a license to discriminate against LGBTQ folks. The Supreme Court obviously didn't answer that underlying question. They ruled basically basis of the case itself and the merits of how the Colorado Civil Rights Department handled it. And, you know, so it was a narrow decision. When we talk 7-2, you know, people are looking at it and saying that's not a narrow victory. Well, it is when you look in the context of the legality of it. When we talk about a narrow decision, that's talking about that it was on that case only. So certainly, like I said, the underlying question has not been answered. And that's something that still will come up, and it's likely to come up in the Supreme Court again. But the discrimination that folks experience is a real thing. Here in the state of Texas, as well as many other states, to be fired from your job, to be removed from a public place, whether it be a restaurant or a hotel, or, you know, housing, you know, discrimination happens in our state, it happens in our city, and that's something that we have to look at from across the board. We need comprehensive non-discrimination laws enacted for Texas, as well as throughout the entire country.
So let's go back to the federal level, the 1964 Civil Rights Act. It does protect against discrimination based on sex, but it doesn't specify what exactly that means, so that it leaves it up to interpretation, if you will, for some people.
Right, but it was decided 50 years ago that if you open a business to the public, you're opening it to all. And that's something that's already been set. And so it needs to be expanded upon to say that that does include our lesbian, gay, bi, trans, queer, questioning, intersex folks that are in our communities. Nobody should be turned away from a public business simply because of who they are or whom they love.
And is there any recourse at this point at all? Like, if you're turned away, is there anything you can do about it?
There are some local ordinances that are in place. San Antonio has a local ordinance, but it's very minimal. It's a municipal charge. And when we talk about employment, somebody can still get fired because that only extends to employees of the city or that is under a city contract. It does not cover for all of San Antonians. Again, it is a patchwork to offer some protections for the community. But again, in order to have full protections and to have everybody treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve, we need full comprehensive coverage.
Great. We're talking about Pride Month. This is June, which is Pride Month in San Antonio and across the world. We're talking about what that means to people in the LGBT community and beyond. We really want to hear your personal stories. What is the LGBTQ experience like in San Antonio for you? Do you have any concerns about discrimination and acceptance in daily life? We really want to hear your stories. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We will get to your call, Jody, after the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Kim Johnson, in for David Martin Davies. Every June, pride parades and festivals are held to celebrate the LGBTQ community, advocate for equal rights, and increase visibility and solidarity. A lot has changed since 1962, when sodomy was a felony in every state, punishable by up to life in prison, but social stigma and discrimination are still pervasive throughout the country. Texas is one of five states with no anti-discrimination protections, and according to gay rights activists, there were 24 bills introduced in the 2017 Texas legislative legislative session that infringe on the rights of LGBTQ Texans, which is more than any other time in state history. We want to hear from you. What is your LGBTQ experience like in Texas and in San Antonio? Are you part of the local LGBT community? Do you agree that San Antonio is a more inclusive city than, you know, other cities in Texas? And if not, what needs to change? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. That's 210-614-8980. And Jody is on the line. Jody, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, yeah, my name is Jody Iglesias. I'm an active duty chief petty officer in the Navy stationed here in San Antonio. And I just want to caveat before I say anything that I don't speak on behalf of the Navy. However, I've been the state chairman for OutServe, which used to be a secret organization prior to the Nast Hotel. I was the chairman for the state of Texas, and we kind of organized to provide the military portion, the honor guard, for pride parades. I've done it in Austin, Seattle, and San Antonio, which is where I've been stationed for the last 10 years. Last year, the pride parade, it was especially meaningful to us to march in that because we just elected a new mayor and a city council who overwhelmingly supports the LGBT community here in San Antonio. And we also, for our brothers in uniform, wanted to pay special homage to Miguel Moreno, the police officer who was gunned down right there near the strip, which is where, you know, kind of we consider the gayborhood in San Antonio. I think that, you know, San Antonio being a military city, you know, the military is supportive of LGBT rights. You know, we're still struggling with some finer points, and especially where it comes to the trans community, but we're evolving. And I think as the military goes, the nation usually follows. And the same has been, you know, for women's equality and for racial equality. And while we still have some struggles, I think we're headed in the right direction on the larger arc.
Thanks for your call, Jody. I appreciate that. And this is also, the Pentagon did not recognize Pride Month this year. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, that is correct. I mean, it when we look at federal offices and whatnot, I mean, for the most part, none of them are recognizing LGBT Month. And I think that directly trickles down from what we're seeing coming from the White House. And so it's an active way of trying to erase our community.
You mentioned before the break, Robert Salcido, he's the statewide field coordinator for Equality Texas, executive director of the Pride Center San Antonio. We were talking earlier about the patchwork of civil rights protections. So in what ways are LGBTQ individuals currently protected? Like, what do we have?
Are we speaking San Antonio in
general? Let's talk on the overall.
Overall?
Mm-hmm.
None.
None. And that's an important point to make.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's important. I mean, like I said, going back to the patchwork that some of these individual cities, which is our larger metro areas, you know, Dallas, Austin, Fort Worth, San Antonio, we have patchworks in place that offer protections, again, on a municipal level. But really, let's be honest, it's a slap in the hand. What we need is, again, comprehensive laws out there that are going to protect every Texan out there, everybody that fears discrimination based on who they are or whom they love or how they identify or how they don't identify. And so that is something that we need. And again, it's important to say Texas does not have anything currently in place, and we need that.
And other states do.
There are states. It's, I believe right now we're at either at 28 or 29 states that currently do offer protections for LGB folks, and even less that offer protections for our trans community.
We got an email from Stephanie. She says, today has been an extremely emotionally charged day, and it's because of these three individuals and others who work as hard as them that I have the courage and the right to stand up for myself. Thanks for that email, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Let's talk about the legislative session last year. There were a number of considered anti-LGBT bills filed. Why do you think more than normal, one, and then can you tell me about some of the ones that stand out and what happened with those? Naomi, you want to start?
Well, I think it became normalized. It was like, it's okay to mess with gays. And we saw it in our legislature. It became something that they said, let's fix Texas and we'll start here. And I find it hard to think of the sign, when you think of just being as an African-American woman, no blacks allowed, no Mexicans allowed, no gays allowed, we're not that far from there. We're really not. And if anything indicated that more, it was the fact that I had to take off and run to Austin 8 million times last year.
And you, I mean, I'm sure y'all felt obligated to show up and voice opposition, yes?
Well, that's one of the things, I mean, with Equality Texas is that's our mission is to make sure that there are no laws that are being passed in Texas that negatively impact our community. And so what we do is we advocate for people to come advocate on their own behalf for the people that they love or for themselves in Austin, in the local offices of their elected officials to come and have their voice heard. And that number, I think it was 28 anti-LGBT bills that were filed. And one, unfortunately, was successfully gone through in regards mm-hmm. to foster care and adoption. But when we look at it, when we look at the laws that were presented against, mostly against our trans community, a direct attack against transgender Texans, is also the fact that, let's take SB 4, for example. While it was an immigration show your papers type law, that was an anti-LGBT law because we have our LGBT folks are across every demographic that you can look at. So something that's attacking our immigrant community and our people of color, that's a direct attack to our LGBT community as well. And so we have people go out there. I implore people to reach out to Equality Texas because the 2019 session is right around the corner mm-hmm. and we're going to face the same, if not worse, because with the current administration that we have on a federal level, that is emboldening people to be openly discriminatory to LGBT folks. And then that's something that is not going to be stopped unless we stand up and take a stand and we show up to the voting polls and we show up to the Capitol and we make our voices heard and advocate for those that that we love.
There were also some bills filed to expand protections for the LGBTQ community. Did any of those pass?
Yeah, so I mean, with the LGBT community in terms of positive, I think that's important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because while we had a high number of anti-LGBTs, a record for Texas, we actually had a record number of positive things that were happening in the Capitol as well, which means that we're building our ally base, we're educating more folks who are representing us in our communities, and so that's important that we bring that up. For the first time, I believe ever, Representative Diego Bernal's housing discrimination bill made it out of committee. It died in calendars, unfortunately, but the fact that it made it out of committee, that is a huge feat.
And that was because someone came across the aisle, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Via Lava.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. This is Joe. Joe, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, this is Joseph Tanassi. I'm former chairperson of Community Alliance for United San Antonio. And I had the pleasure of working with Robert, James, and Naomi on a few issues here in town. One thing I want to talk about that was my main issue is the homeless LGBTQ youth issue. You know, on any given day here in the United States, I've heard the number as high as 1.8 million youth are homeless. 40% of those are identified as LGBTQ homeless youth. And not only that, you know, we expect that 13 of those kids will unfortunately pass away every single day. So that's something that I want to address. And also, I want them to talk about the need for pride. You know, with the current administration and what's going on in our social communities nowadays, we hear a lot of, you know, well, why do we have straight pride? Why do we need gay pride? Let's talk about this is not something that we wanted. This is something that we needed. And then lastly, I just want to take a moment to thank the panelists. I want to thank Robert. I want to thank Naomi. And I want to thank James, you know, for being there every day and fight this fight. And I'll go ahead and take my comments offline.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your call. Let's talk about the need for pride, James. James Poindexter, he's the secretary of the nonprofit Pride San Antonio, Inc.
We need pride because we need, as like they said, our current federal administration is setting a lot of standards with the things that they're saying and not saying and the measures that they're taking. We need pride so that we can stand together in solidarity among our own community, but also with the allies that will stand with us so that we can keep the mission going and keep being visible, because only by being visible is we're going to be able to make change. We have to remain visible and be able to allow other people to become visible, because the numbers is what's going to change. But we can only do that when we show pride and get together to celebrate who we are, because we should be celebrating who we are and not being worried about who we are or worried that we're going to offend somebody.
Absolutely. Naomi Brown, Vice Chair of the Pride Center San Antonio, do you want to speak to the homeless?
Yeah, actually, I'm also a social worker and have spent a lot of time, and to make matters even worse, in the South, the numbers are actually 50% for gay youth. And it has a lot to do with the fact that we are in the Bible Belt. And if you come home and tell mom you're gay, mom can put you out of the house. And you are living on the streets, working with survival sex and whatever it takes to survive. And we need to change policy. We need to change safety so that we know that whenever a child becomes homeless, what we have is a homeless child, not a homeless gay child, but a homeless child. And when you say that gay people cannot, if a religious organization decides it does not think you are an appropriate parent because you're LGBT, we're going the wrong way.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Kenny McFadden in just a few minutes. The black transgender resident of San Antonio who was killed last year, the man who admitted to pushing her in the river where she drowned was not prosecuted. How did the LGBTQ community react to that case?
I think there was anger. There was frustration with the way that the district attorney's office handled the case. They allowed basically a trans panic, defense to be used. The case was lost on a technicality because they did not try it on a full jury or through a judge based on the merits of the case alone. It was combined in with something else. At the core of it, Kenny did not have justice.
This is The Source. We're talking about Pride in San Antonio during Pride Month, which is the month of June. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. We want to hear from you. We want to hear personal stories. 210-614-8980. This is The Source. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Kim Johnson and for David Martin Davies. We're talking about Pride Month and what it means for the LGBTQ community. What does the Pride mean to you? What is it like to be part of the community here in San Antonio? Phone lines are open if you have a question or comment. 210-614-8980. And Jennifer is on the line. Jennifer, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I just had a question, I guess more of not knowing, but I don't understand the importance of the gay pride, because to me, love is love. Their display and their sexuality as far as who they're sleeping with or what gender they choose to identify with, when we don't, I just don't advertise what I do in the bedroom.
Thanks for that point, Jennifer. Do you want to respond to that, Robert?
So the need for pride is for visibility for a group of individuals, a whole community that has been persecuted because of who they are and whom they love. The fact that our heterosexual or straight counterparts, the fact of needing pride, they have not. We live in a heteronormative society where being straight is the norm. They are not persecuted for who they are. They are not discriminated against. They don't have the fear of walking hand in hand with their opposite gender partner because they are, of who they were born as. Nobody chooses their gender. Their gender is who they are as individuals. That's who they are and who they know themselves to authentically be. Who I am as a queer man, that is who I was born in. I am living my authentic life. And so it's not that we have it on display, but we're embracing our differences as well as embracing the commonalities that we have with people out there as well.
And how prevalent, we were talking about Kenny McFadden before the break, how prevalent is anti-LGBTQ violence here in Texas or San Antonio?
It's very prevalent. We have every year the number of individuals that are murdered and taken away from us just because of their trans identities and their trans experiences increases. Just within the last, 30 to 60 days, we had multiple accounts of trans women of color that are murdered across the U.S. That's even increased even more. The fact remains that people are targeted simply because of how they identify. And again, it leads to the misinformation and the unknown factors. And so I implore people, I tell people, if you don't know a trans person, get to know a trans person. They are loving. They are kind. They're our neighbors. They go to church with us. They work with us. They're people. They're in every day. And they love just like us. They bleed just like us. And if you give them the opportunity to show that open heart, they have that. And I think we need to all just learn from them and get to know them.
James Poindexter with Pride San Antonio, Inc. The SAPD has a LGBT liaison now. How do they work with y'all in planning the festivals, the parade, in terms of coordinating to ensure safety?
Well, they keep really close contact with the community and try to encourage community members to reach out, because a lot of times, out of fear of exposing who they are, they won't report crimes, they won't report things that have happened to them or things that they've witnessed. And so the LGBT liaison is out there in the community to try to encourage people to understand that there is a connection to the police department, that they can feel comfortable going to report crimes, because unreported crimes is a real problem in our community.
Have hate crimes made an impact, the hate crime laws, have they made an impact on curbing violence in the United States, Naomi?
I don't think so. I think when we look at what the numbers, Southern Poverty Law Center will give you numbers after the election, the hate crimes that happened against the LGBT community increased tenfold. We're already up to 12 trans women who have died this year. And the problem is that 98% of those are trans women of color.
I want to get through some emails, actually. We've gotten a lot of these. This is from Jamie on the subject of discrimination. She says, I've been hearing from gay and lesbian friends about being treated very well by their employers, but I'm hearing from trans folks and non-conforming folks who have still been experiencing challenges in the workplace. And that can transition us back to talking about San Antonio's non-discrimination ordinance. What exactly does that protect? Everybody thinks, you know, non-discrimination ordinance sounds so comprehensive to me anyway, without knowing. What does that actually mean? Robert.
Yeah, so when the non-discrimination ordinance was updated in 2013 to add on LGBTQ, gender identity, as well as veteran status was added on at the same time, it covers for employment if you're a city employee or under a city contract. It covers for housing, but most of the housing in that is only included if it's under federal programs such as Section 8 or HUD, and then it includes for public accommodations or public spaces, but that's only within the city of San Antonio. It needs to be comprehensive where it includes for everybody. You know, the caller that it mentioned, you know, about the employers who are being more open and accepting, yes, that is definitely true, but there's still the misunderstanding when it comes to trans workers. How do you transition on the job? You know, how do you do it in a way that you still maintain dignity and respect with all your coworkers, where they also understand about the transition? Simple things as, you know, recognizing the pronouns that you now use, your name that you've changed it to, things of that nature. Education is still needed in the workplaces. Equality Texas is very fortunate that we have a really good partnership with the National Diversity Council and the Texas Diversity Council, where we are having these conversations. How can we increase inclusivity within in the workplaces? You know, people, businesses that are open and affirming to LGBT community have signed on to Texas Competes, which is a coalition of businesses that say showing our employees dignity and respect who identify as LGBTQ is imperative for the economic success of our businesses, as well as for the overall morale, you know, productivity, and really just keeping everything together in terms of retention and acquisition of employees. So I, you know, businesses that are opening and accepting, I ask them, go online and look up Texas Competes. If you're a Texas business and you're an owner, whether a small business or a large business, sign on and let people know that you are an affirming organization.
That's I want to talk about being an ally. So that's one way people can become an ally to the community here in San Antonio. What other ways are there for San Antonio residents to support the local LGBTQ community? James?
Every organization in town is in desperate need of volunteers, and there's no requirement that they have to be LGBT in order to volunteer. So people can reach out to almost any nonprofit and LGBT nonprofit in town, and they're going to welcome you with open arms to come in and help, because there's a lot of work to be done in many different areas.
And I wanted to ask you, Naomi, do you feel like the LGBTQ community is accurately represented in the media when media outlets try to cover issues? Do you feel like they get it right?
I feel like most times they try. And that's different from a couple of years ago. And I really feel like there are those who make serious attempts because of the out status of so many people now who are, when we look at senators who are out, when we look at mayors that are out, when we look at our entertainers that are out. it's become more prevalent for you to see role models, and it's become more prevalent for you to be honest about who you are. And that honesty leads to acceptance. That honesty leads to peace.
So we were talking about volunteering at certain organizations. Can we talk a little bit about what resources exist here in San Antonio? What are some of the standout groups? What are the standout initiatives, Robert?
Yeah, so I mean, overall, I mean, we have a lot of great organizations here in San Antonio. We are in the midst of opening a walk-in center for the Pride Center. So it'll be a hub for the community to walk in and get resources, whether it's programs that we offer, we can refer them to other organizations like Pride San Antonio, you know, PFLAG and other groups that are out there that exist to really bring a wholeness to the community. We're working with city partners. Councilman Trevino from District 1 has been instrumental in the work that we're doing, and to bring this to the community. And so we, you know, between, you know, the Pride Center offering safe zone trainings and offering new programming and support groups and, you know, really we're just trying to offer everything that we can. And volunteers are certainly needed with every organization, as well as, you know, time, in addition to their time, also donations, you know, and, you know, we certainly need the community's help to push these programs and services forward, as well as to build new programs that might be a gap in the community. You know, so there's a lot of things that people can get involved with that are wanting to get active.
Naomi, what about health care, mental and physical?
Well, that's huge in our community. Affirming providers. Folks still are looking for providers who are affirming. It's still the number one thing that comes up. We had a volunteer orientation last week, and seven people were there. Four of them were in healthcare. And the reason that they were there was to push the fact that it's really important to be able to go into a provider and be who you are. To know that you can be authentic and it's respected. I also sit on the mayor's LGBTQ advisory board, and that's one of the things that we're looking at. What does San Antonio need? What can we do to become more powerful as a city?
You know? What about individuals needing emotional support counseling, other mental health services? Robert, do you have any specific places you would recommend here in San Antonio?
Yeah, so what we do is we regularly have people that reach out for mental health services, and we have a list of affirming providers that we can provide to them, as well as some of the colleges and universities that have social work and counseling programs for those that may not have insurance or need sliding scales. So there's always resources that are available to individuals that need it, whether they have insurance or not. And that's something that's important to our community. So I ask people to reach out to us if they need it.
And before we go, James, I want to talk to you about you're involved with Pride San Antonio. What do y'all have coming up, big events? What's the timeline for that?
Well, of course, our big event, which is our big deal every year, is the Pride Parade and Festival, which is going to be on the 30th of June. It's going to be our 15th Pride Parade, our 15th Pride Festival, and we have our Grand Marshal meet and greet the night before, where all of our special guests are going to be in town doing speeches and talking about what Pride means to all of us and to our community.
And everyone is welcome, as we talked about earlier, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
And where can people find more information out about the events?
They can go to pridesanantonio.org, and all of the information is on there.
Great. I want to thank y'all for being here today. Robert Salcido, he's the statewide field coordinator for Equality Texas and the executive director of the Pride Center San Antonio. Naomi Brown, vice chair of the Pride Center San Antonio. And James Poindexter, secretary of the nonprofit Pride San Antonio, Inc. And one more time, that website for the Pride events.
It's www.pridesanantonio.org.
Awesome. And we'll have a link to that on our website. I'm Kim Johnson, and for David Martin Davies, thanks so much for tuning in The Source today. See you tomorrow.